Before we get back to chapter 2, let me ask you a question. In your life, what do you enjoy the most? In your life, what do you enjoy the most? What thing? What thing do you enjoy the most? Your own feeling is your own experience. What did you enjoy? Enjoy the most in your life?
Eating.
Oh, okay. Oh, anything else?
Sleeping.
Oh, anything else? Drinking, right? Okay. And according to John chapter 2, during the banquet, what did they enjoy the most? The wine changed by the water, right? The wine changed by Jesus Christ. It's far better than original wine prepared by the host. So what does that mean to us? We have to think about today. The jar filled with the water, jar can referring to our body, like a vessel, like a jar, filled with the water. And what is water means spiritually? Holy Spirit. Yes. If we are filled by the Holy Spirit, and in your life, you are going to experience that the life will be different from your previous life after you've been filled by the Spirit of God. We are only talking here, talk about some teaching and some theory, but it deserves you to try to experience it. So, what do we enjoy the most in your life? I think one thing you can enjoy the most, what's that? The grace of God, right? Not very right, huh? The God Himself. We can see a lot of people testify, and so touching, even shed tear, and they received the grace of God, and the life was saved. Even the dead resurrected, and got a good job, and they have a good spouse, and this and that. So touched by the love of Jesus Christ. But the one who touched us the most, who really can satisfy us, is God Himself. So try to enjoy God Himself in your life. Okay, let's see Book of Romans chapter. The Book of Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5, verse 10 and 11. Romans chapter 5, verse 10 to 11. For if while we were enemy, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son, much more now we are reconciled. Shall we be saved by His life? 11. Not only so, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received our reconciliation. Verse 10 is talking about the initial stage of our belief. We reconcile ourselves with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. And verse 11 is talking about our daily pursuit. We have to rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Rejoice in God means enjoy God Himself. And you are going to see the wine changed by God will be better than the wine prepared yourself. Even if it's water, water has no test. Alright? It's tasteless. But water can become wine. Also sometimes you feel that there's nothing exciting in your life. Every day just you are living in a routine life, like sunrise, sunset, or you sleep, you get up, and then you are fulfilling some kind of routine in your daily life. Maybe a lot of people really get bored. But if God is in your life, you can rejoice in Him, enjoy God Himself. And this is the highest level of your spirituality. When we reach to John chapter 6, we can find out the example. Jesus multiplied the bread, right? How many people enjoy the bread multiplied by Jesus? 5,000, right? And then they start to pursue after Jesus. But out of so many people, how many people will really witness the transfiguration of Jesus Christ? How many? Only 12? How many witness the transfiguration of Jesus Christ? Only 3, yes. 5,000 experience the wonderfulness of God by eating the bread, the material blessing. Only 3 people experience the wonderfulness of God through beholding the glorious God, transfiguration. That is spiritual satisfaction. So a lot of people can testify how wonderful God is by sharing His blessing. But only a few people really can testify how wonderful it is that God become my satisfaction. God, I enjoy God every day. And this should be your goal. If we were to try to enjoy God every day, you must use water so that it can change to wine. Not use a Coca-Cola or Chinese tea or some kind of soup and change into the wine. Plain water, testless water can change into wine, which means, can also mean simplicity is a kind of beauty. A life of simplicity will help you to enjoy God. If you live a too complicated life, you can never enjoy God because and the complicated life will alienate you with God. It drives a wedge between you and God. So your distance with God becomes further and further and further. So the Bible says, do not be friend with the world. Yes, the world has a lot of things make you exciting. But be friend with the world is the enemy of God. Your relationship, invisible relationship, with God become further and further up away from each other because the world occupy your heart and separate you with God. So if you want to enjoy God Himself, use the water. Try to live a simple life, as simple as possible. You can see God come into your heart. I think you heard a lot of people testify 1950s, 1960s, even until 1970s. When the people receive Holy Spirit, it's so powerful. Just like a living water gush out from their belly. Just like a mighty wind blow on them. But nowadays, when we receive the Holy Spirit, a lot of people have no feeling. That's what a preacher there. Use your Holy Spirit, did I? They even cannot believe. These kind of things seldom happen in 60s, 70s. Our life is too complicated. So our heart cannot totally so close to God because something in the world just stay in between. So keep you away from a distance from God. So I try to learn from the people who can live a life of simplicity. This is the best example of, in our daily life. A simple life will really make you feel that God is your friend. God is enjoyable in your life. God is your satisfaction. So this is the first miracle. Now we come back to chapter 2, the book of John, chapter 2. I always testify that when I see a member drive a very fancy car, I'm very thankful. My thankness has twofold. The first fold is I'm very thankful for the member being blessed by God. So previously they drive a used car, always break down. Right now they can drive so good car from Germany, from where, right? Oh, fancy car. But also, I'm very thankful to myself. Why? Because I never feel envy about them. Oh, I'm very thankful. I think different people have different experience about God's blessing. Maybe you think you can have high income, you can have a luxurious living standard, you can have a fancy car, right? It's God's blessing. Surely it's God's blessing. But if you can live a very simple life and you are still very joyful, very peaceful, that's another kind of blessing. So try to think at God's blessing from two sides, not only from one side. So in all the circumstances, you can give thanks to God. He can change water, the testiest water, into wine, and the better wine. And chapter 2, verse 13 to verse 22 or 23 or 25, the cleansing of the temple. Jesus came with authority. So chapter 2 starts from verse 13. Jesus challenged the authority in that religious field. In the religious field, religious institution in the time of Jesus, Pharisees are the one who holds authority. But right now, Jesus tried to challenge their authority by cleansing the temple. Oh, you see, the same matter, two persons has two feeling. What does that try to tell us? Pharisees, they are the one proclaim the law of Moses. They are the one who teach the Israelite to observe the law of Moses and to offer the sacrifice in the temple. Right? So every day, they come to the temple. Right? And they have been seeing people doing the trading of the oxen and the lamb or pigeon, but they feel nothing. They feel there's nothing wrong. Maybe they feel something wrong, but they did not do anything to correct it. Now, Jesus started his ministry. He came to the same temple. He saw the same picture, but he has different feeling. So what does that mean? What does that mean? Different spirituality always has different feeling about the same matter. Different spirituality. You still can recall Jesus stayed 3 days after his parents finished observing the feast. And Jesus spent 3 days and listening, asking the question. But when his parents come to look after him, he said, "Don't you know I have to mind my father's business?" Mary, the mother of Jesus Christ, she was very spiritual. But when Jesus told him, she was unable to understand why. Maybe you can say there's a generation gap. But that kind of gap is not coming from our what we experience in our family. That kind of gap can come coming from the different spiritual level. If we have heart of Jesus inside us, you will be very sensitive to what is right or what is wrong. A lot of things may be legally right, but it may not be spiritually correct. A lot of things may be culturally right, but it may not be spiritually correct. So in the church, our emphasis is not only legally whether this is right. It's not only culturally whether this is right. Our main focus is whether spiritually this is right in the eyes of God. So we live in this country, emphasize a lot of culture, but we are the chosen people of God. We have emphasized even more about the spiritual aspect. Okay. Now, chapter 2, verse 15. And making a whip of cords, he drove them all with the sheep and oxen out of the temple, and he poured out the coin of the money changer and overturned their table, and he told those who sold the pigeon, "Take these things away. You shall not make my father's house a house of trade." Let us think about this. Why did they make a trade? For the convenience of what? Over the sacrifice. And why Jesus driven them out, turned down the table? Because that was a place to offer the sacrifice. That was not a place to do the trading. If that kind of things continue to be allowed in the temple, in the court, maybe the purpose of sacrifice will be in danger of being lost. Because, you know, the people are very weak in terms of the money, right? When you start to make money in the court of the temple, your heart more or less will turn to the direction of the money, right? And in the ancient time, they were negotiate the price, right? 50, 49, 51, shouting around, they negotiate the price. The court of the temple will listen like a marketplace. Something is going on. Maybe it's going to be sunset. Some people on sale, the pigeon, $3 for $1. On sale. Some people compete with another one. So it makes that kind of environment are so different from the original purpose of building a temple. And that's what God doesn't like. Now, let us think about what does that mean to us today. What does this temple mean? The temple nowadays means the church. So there are many so-called good reason to justify we do something in the church. But we have to be careful. If whatever we do in the church is different from the original purpose of building the church, we have to be very cautious. So the purpose of coming to the church will not be lost. Maybe you can find some many examples. I don't know Pacific Church. Many examples. Do not do the business in the church. It's not only trying to maintain a spiritual atmosphere in the church, and it also try to maintain a very simple relationship between brother and sisters. Do you know? Once you start to do the business in the church, there is a profit get involved. If somebody earns the money, there might be somebody pay the money. Right? If somebody earns a lot, maybe somebody lost a lot. So in the church, we have to do our best. Don't do business in the church. If you really want to do the business, then you, after you go out of the church, use your personal channel to do it. So the directory, in the church, we have the printed directory. Recently, there was a member complained that somebody in United States maybe use the directory, sold the information or directory to somebody. So a lot of salesperson start to make phone call to the members. That's totally wrong. This directory for you to have fellowship. This directory is not for you to for any personal benefit, any personal purpose. We should learn from this. The members' relationship, the best way is to build upon the love of Jesus Christ. Nothing else. Nothing else. We can see a lot of example happen in the church. In the beginning, they are so close to each other, and later on, they are so cold to each other. Eventually, because they get involved with some kind of benefit, some kind of business deal turns sour, and the relationship become worsened. Now let's see chapter 2. John chapter 2. Verse 17. His disciple remembered that it was written, "Zeal for the house will consume me." Verse 18. The Jews then said to him, "What sign have you to show us for this?" Verse 19. Jesus answered them, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up." Verse 20. The Jews then said, "It has taken 46 years to build this temple, and will you raise it up in 3 days? Verse 21. But he spoke of the temple of his body. Verse 17. Zeal for my house will consume me. Where comes the zeal? Where comes the zeal? Where comes the zeal? The zeal comes from the fullness of the Holy Spirit, right? In Acts chapter 2, the first time Holy Spirit descend on them, they saw a vision. The Holy Spirit like a fire descend on them, right? Fire. Fire means very hot. So when a person been filled by the Holy Spirit, there will be a spiritual fervency inside. Very hot spiritually inside, not hot temper, spiritually very hot, zeal inside. So you look into the disciple, right? Those who crucified Jesus Christ are wandering around, trying to look after the disciple of Jesus. So they were so scared, they went into the upper chamber and locked the door. They were afraid of persecution or crucifixion. But in the day of Pentecost, when they received the Holy Spirit, what did they do? They opened the door and they went out. And they stood in the public location and they preached publicly. Why? Because they were filled with zeal from God. Zeal from God. So no wonder one of the criteria to be chosen as a deacon, as a worker or a board member, should be filled by the Holy Spirit. Because once you are filled by the Holy Spirit, you'll be filled by the zeal to serve God. You don't need anybody to ask you to do this. You ask you do that. You yourself will do that. You know, the businessman making the money. Have you ever heard any businessman need somebody to give him an urge? Hey, work hard to make more money. Never, right? The only worry to the businessman is has no self-control, right? They get up in the early morning and they sleep very late in the night. They can sacrifice their family life. They can sacrifice their marriage life. They can sacrifice their health. They can sacrifice everything in as long as I can make more money. So the money will drive a person so generous in their business engagement. Same thing with some kind of fame in the world. In order to achieve some kind of title, hold on some kind of title, so many people sacrifice so much. So many things can give a person zeal. But when we come to church business, the zeal coming from the fullness of Holy Spirit. So Jesus was filled by the Holy Spirit when he was fasting 40 days and 40 nights. He was filled by the Holy Spirit. He was so zealous about God's business. Out of this kind of jealousy, he confronted the Jewish authority and he cleansed the temple. So sometimes we really admire Jesus. He feared nothing. Of course, he did it not out of flesh. He feared nothing. He only wanted to please God. So he was able to do that out of zeal. Today, sometimes we know a lot of things is God's will. We have to do this, we have to do that. But because we have too many concerns, too many considerations, we are unable to do what we thought it is right in the eyes of God. In other words, maybe we lack of zeal. Because we lack of zeal, so we lack that kind of drive to change something in the church. If the church can be changed, something can be changed, the church will be different. But it needs some kind of zeal from some people. Okay, the next one. Destroy this temple, I will raise it up in 3 days. As what we know, this is prophecy of his death and resurrection. Right? After he died for 3 days, he will be resurrected. And there are these two times. The Bible mentioned about cleansing the chapel. This is in the initial stage of his ministry. In the last stage of his ministry, he did it again. So at this, Jesus cleansed the chapel for 2 times. So what does that mean? Let us think twice. In the Sabbath day, we come to the church. That is separate the church as a holy temple, as a holy place. Yes, we can show our concern to each other. So when we talk, we will talk about everyday's daily life. But that should not be our main focus. The reason we talk about the daily life eventually is trying to get connected with our spiritual pursuit. So when you talk with someone who is very spiritual, no matter what you talk, your job, your family, your marriage, your study, eventually you is going to get connected with God. So in the church, when we have fellowship, obviously we're talking about a lot of things, just like a stock plunging, right? Or like a terrorism. All this kind of subject will surface in our conversation. But our conversation is not focused on that. That's only a part of our conversation, and eventually will lead into the deeper commitment of our faith to the Heavenly Father. We're beginning with worldly stuff, but eventually we will end our conversation in the spiritual perspective. So when you say Jesus cleansed the chapel, that doesn't mean you cannot mention anything worldly in the church. No, this is not the main focus. So in the Sabbath day, let us try to remind ourselves, this is the temple of prayer. This is the temple of worship. And this is not a temple of trading, to do something for our personal needs or to pursue our personal satisfaction. The last one, chapter 2, verse 23. Now, when he was in Jerusalem at the Passover feast, many believed in his name when they saw the signs which he did. When Jesus is the Word become the flesh, right? The Bible says, which you can see, which you can touch, and which you can listen. Now, so in the four Gospel or in the book of Acts, you can see there are three ways to convert a person. The first is by listen, right? You listen, oh, the teaching is new. I'm very convinced. I'm very touched. So I believe, right? The second, by witness. You witness how powerful Jesus performed the miracle, and you understand he must be the one come from God, and you believe. And the third come from touch, your personal experience. Touch. Just like the woman who issued the blood for 12 years. She touched, and her sickness was cured, and she believed. So in the church, as well in the four Gospels, there are two ways to believe, three ways to believe in Jesus. Listen, touch, and see, witness. He was in Jerusalem. Many believed in him when they saw the signs which he did. So sometimes it's very effective for the church to break through the evangelical work if God manifests his wonder and sign and power in the church. Sometimes it's very effective. So when the wonder and signs manifest in the church, you can see the holy work is moving. It's moving forwards. So in Acts chapter 4, chapter 5, when Peter and John was persecuted and been released, after they returned to the congregation, they pray aloud to God, and give us boldness so we can proclaim your message. And second, priests, manifest your wonder and signs so people can be convinced you, the Jesus of Nazareth, being crucified on the cross, is the true Savior. Now, after the prayer, the place they are gathering was shaken like an earthquake. And then the miracle and signs happened in the apostolic church. So today, when we pray, we should not only pray for ourselves, we also have to pray for the holy work of the church. If everybody, here we have almost 120 people, right? If 120 people pray with one mind, one accord, right? Pray until you feel that this place is shaken like an earthquake, the holy work is going to be different. Now let's come to next. Verse 24. But Jesus did not trust himself to them. Verse 25. Because he knew all men and needs no one to bear witness of men, for he himself knew what was in men. Jesus did not trust himself to them, to the believer, because he knew all men. Means he knew every people's heart. So in the eyes of God, there is nothing secret. Everyone, we are transparent in the eyes of God. You cannot hide anything from God. So because he knew everybody. And since Jesus knows everybody, if you want to be close to Jesus, there is only one way. Cleanse ourselves. be sincere. Then we can be close to God. Otherwise, even we believe, Jesus will not trust himself to us because our heart has not been transformed yet. Okay, so this is chapter 2. Now we come into chapter 3. Chapter 3, Jesus met the official Judaism, which means Nicodemus. Jesus Christ has discussed the topic of eternal life at least with three persons in the four Gospels. Who are the three persons? At least three persons. A rich young man, right? And what are the second one? The lawyer, right? The lawyer asked Jesus, what shall we do so that we can have eternal life, right? And Jesus asked the lawyer, what did the Bible say? And the lawyer said, the first of all, you have to love God with all your heart, all your mind, all your strength. The second, you have to love others as you love yourself, right? And Jesus said, do it and you have eternal life, right? And the rich young man, he asked Jesus, what can I do so I have eternal life? Jesus said, you know the commandment. And the young man said, yes, ever since I was young, I observed the commandment. And what Jesus said? Sell all you have and distribute to the poor and follow me. You are going to have a treasure in heaven. But the young man left Jesus worrisome. And this is the third person, Nicodemus. Jesus very directly to the point tell him, unless one is born of water and spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Enter into the kingdom of God is equivalent to have eternal life. But because only the kingdom of God has eternal life, out of his kingdom there is no eternal life. So unless one is born of water and spirit, you cannot have eternal life. So in order to have eternal life, besides we have to believe, we should have faith. If you make a conclusion about the conversation with the three persons, you can understand. Besides faith, you need love, right? Love God and love man. Besides love, you have to keep commandment. You have to put God first. And besides this, you have to receive the baptism of water, baptism of the Spirit. And then your salvation is secured, right? So it's not so simple. It's just not just like so simple. A lot of Christian proclaim. You believe in your heart, profess in your mouth, you are saved. That oversimplified the separate salvation. Okay. In chapter 3, Jesus discussed with Nicodemus. Verse 1. And there was a man of Pharisees. Pharisees was respected in that society, named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. So he has a position, the ruler of the Jews. Verse 2. This man came to see Jesus by night. Let us think. Why Nicodemus had to come to see Jesus by night? Why? Yeah, because he was a ruler, right? He was very respected. But at that time, everybody despised Jesus. Do you recall there was an incident? Jesus preaching was so powerful. Everybody was marveled. How come this young man preached so powerful, right? And then one of the Pharisees said, oh, his father is Joseph, the carpenter, just lived at the corner of the street. Start from that day on, they don't want to listen anymore, right? So they despised Jesus. And now, Nicodemus, as a ruler, he went to see the one everybody despised. That was not fit into his status. So no wonder he came to Jesus at night. Now, did you come to see Jesus at night? Yes, literally, you never do that. But spiritually, sometimes we do that, right? Which means We want to have eternal life, but we are unwilling to pay a price. They come at night, it means pay a price. The price may be count by money, how much you have to pay. The price means to sacrifice your status, sacrifice your the respect people pay to you, bear the cross, being despised, that kind of a price. Are you willing to pay a price to be the disciple of Jesus? So Nicodemus, originally, he was not ready for that yet. Here comes another question. Here comes another question is, when can a person be baptized? Quite often we hear a person, some ministers are very gifted. If you don't baptize and you die tonight, where are you going to go? Tonight if I die, where am I going to go? So tomorrow I enroll my name, I want to be baptized. Okay. But the question is, tomorrow you're still alive, you did not die, right? And start from tomorrow on, there is a lot of challenge in your daily life. How can you follow Jesus to become a good Christian? You have to pay a price. But are you ready to pay a price to be a Christian? You know, a lot of people, they want to have eternal life. That's the reason they choose to be baptized. But they are not ready to pay a price to follow Jesus. And so no wonder there are many people who are ready to be baptized, but not many people who uphold their faith until the last moment. They are unwilling to pay a price. So Nicodemus initially, he was not ready to pay a price. But eventually, from the Bible, we know that he has changed tremendously. Chapter 7, verse 15. John chapter 7, verse 15. Now Nicodemus defend for Jesus Christ. 45. Then official went back to the chief priest and Pharisees, who said to them, "Why didn't you not bring him?" And the officers answered, "No man ever spoke like this man." 47. And the Pharisees answered them, "Are you led astray, you also?" 48. "Have any of the authority or the Pharisees believe in him?" 49. "But this crowd who do not know the law are accursed." 50. Nicodemus, who had gone to him before and who was one of them, said to them, "Does our law judge a man without first giving him a hearing and learning what he does?" 52. They replied, "Are you from Galilee too? Search and you will see that no prophet is to rise from Galilee." So Nicodemus now started to defend for Jesus, right? He was a Pharisee, but when the Pharisees speak something unfairly to Jesus, and he stood against that. He stood in the opposite direction of most of the Pharisees. That's part of his change. But the total change comes from after he observed the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. Chapter 19, verse 39. John chapter 19, verse 39. "And Nicodemus also, who had at first come to him by night, came bringing a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 100 pound weight." Verse 40. "They took the body of Jesus and bound it in linen cloths with spices, as is the burial custom of the Jews." So right now, Nicodemus openly to become the disciple of Jesus. After he witnessed how touching Jesus was in his crucifixion, he was waiting. He was ready to pay a price. The same with Joseph of Arimathea, originally secretly to become a disciple, right now openly to be a disciple. So when we learn this story, we know that we have to be prepared to pay a price to follow Jesus. Okay. Chapter 3, verse 5. Unless one is born of water and spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. We are all very familiar with the verse. But if you try to discuss this verse with a lot of Christians, sometimes you will feel, it's so funny, so many different interpretations about this verse. And some kind of interpretation is you never imagine. To be born of water, what does that mean? I talked with a Christian who has been a Christian for a long time. I have been born with water, from the water already. When? Because my mother gave birth to me. Before I was born, I was in water. Born of water means come out from your mother, the water. The Bible never says so. When the Bible recalls something, always it has spiritual meaning. So the water referring to the water baptism. And born of spirit. Born of spirit in the previous two chapters, we know anyone who receives the Holy Spirit is the one born of spirit. And this is the way to testify that Jesus is the Son of God, right? In chapter 1, verse 34. Right? So, born of spirit means to receive the Holy Spirit. And these are the two prerequisites for our personal salvation. Okay. So this is very important. Verse 7. Chapter 3, verse 7. Do not marvel, I say to you, you must be born anew. The wind blow where it will, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know whence it comes or whither it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit. So John tried to, in the book of John, tried to dig into a deeper meaning to be born of Spirit. In a very superficial meaning, in the chapter 1 means when you see somebody, the Spirit descend on somebody, somebody has been baptized of the Holy Spirit, been born of Holy Spirit. But the deeper meaning means when you are born of Holy Spirit, you are totally being controlled by the Holy Spirit. So you are like a wind. What does that mean? Wind means. Wind means you don't know where the wind comes from. You don't know the wind where the wind is going to go. Wind blow by its own will. And the wind referring to the breath of God, referring to the Holy Spirit. When the person really born of spirit, being filled by the Holy Spirit, the person will live according to the guidance of the Holy Spirit. So in the book of Acts, you can see so many spiritual workers, when they try to make a decision about God's work. For example, the breakthrough of the gospel being preached to the Europe. How did they make that decision? Originally, they did not plan to go to Europe. They planned to go to somewhere else. But Holy Spirit forbid them. And they changed into the second destination. And the Holy Spirit still don't allow them to go. And then, the third time, they saw a vision from the Macedonia. And they changed to that direction. So the worker of themselves, they have no self. They have no self. Holy Spirit fill upon them. They're just like a tool. Follow the wind and go here, go there. That's called a person being born of spirit in the deeper sense. So if you think I receive Holy Spirit, I have been born by the Spirit yet already. This kind of thinking will lead into one conclusion. Once you receive the Holy Spirit, you don't pray. You don't have to pray too hard because you already be born of spirit. So sometimes you can see a brother praying for Holy Spirit, put so much effort and perspire so much, and tonight the person receives Holy Spirit, from tomorrow never sweat, never perspire, because I already received it. But if you dig into the deeper sense, you know after you receive Holy Spirit, that is the beginning of your prayer. Pray into the depth in spirit, so that you can truly be born of spirit. So John chapter 3. Uh, verse 11. John chapter 3, verse 11. Truly, truly, I say to you, we speak of what we know and bear witness to what we have seen, but you do not receive our testimony. Verse 12. If I have told you the earthly thing and you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you the heavenly things? So Jesus tried to tell them, if something in the world you can see, you still don't believe, how can you believe something you cannot see, intangible? The time is up. We are going to continue in this evening. So this evening we are going to study chapter 3 and chapter 4. From tomorrow, each section we have to about three chapters. Okay, let's pray, Silas.